Hello and welcome to the movie podcast and welcome to our very special Oscar prediction. My name is Anthony. As always, I'm joined by my, what should I call you, nominees, never winners?
Oh, co-hosts? Wow. I mean, one of those is like nice, and then the other thing is not nice.
Which one's the nice, but nominees is nice?
Nominees part? Is nice, yeah. The never winners.
The never winners. Yeah.
But always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah, the never winners.
Yeah.
He's a never.
That's a YA reference. Oh,
yeah,
in there.
He's a never.
Yes, I'm joined by never winner Daniel and never winner Shay.
I don't know if I like it.
It's an honor to not be nominated.
What's the award though? Is it the Anthony Awards? Because I would never want to win.
Get ready for this.
It's the most prestigious award.
It's the most prestigious award. It's the Anthony Award, but it's also awarded to the best co-hosts, and Anthony is the only one who votes.
Damn.
And we lost somehow.
Damn. I vote for myself, yes.
He voted for himself. He wasn't even in this category, but
he
won.
And the winner is Anthony.
There's a problem with the jury.
That's why it's the Anthony Awards. The whole thing is about me.
Yeah,
the whole award ceremony.
I think you're going to be eliminated, though. Like, it's going to be like something like with the Olympics. Like, oh no, Anthony can't participate for 4 years now.
You can't eliminate me if I'm running the show. It's my show, my rules.
I guess.
That's true.
Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Honestly, it's one of those things that when we did our Oscar discussion, I'm like, man, the Oscars are so far away now. And then I blinked and now the Oscars are in less than a week.
It's a long blink.
They call it the old long blink. And I'm here now. And like, we're here talking about who do you think is going to win? What a journey it's been though. Like when we think about the last year and Oppenheimer, do we retire talking about Oppenheimer after the Oscar episode?
No. I think that room in our Discord chat is going to stay forever.
Forever open.
Forever.
It is like, you know, the holy trinity of Discord chats.
Yeah. It really is, yeah.
Just like the repercussions of that bomb, this chat will always remain open.
Yeah, you know, like the meme of like when they discover, like when he realized what he's done, that's us when we open up that chat room. That was Shay when he opened up the chat room. He's just like, what have I done? Yeah, it's always there.
How about you, Shay? How are you doing?
Oh man, I'm doing great. We had a long day today, but man, I'm excited.
What a long day. It's as long as the Oscars getting to this point.
It is.
Really, like the award season has been the most, I feel like this year, the longest I've ever.
It's felt long. You're right.
It's been a long runway.
The Oscars need to like figure out their placement because January March 1st. Is just too.
Let's shake it up. Next year, how about the Oscars are the first ceremony? Because the Oscars are the end of award season, right? Like that's the award show that everyone's like, we're all building to this. What if the Oscars are like, no, we're going to go very first. We're going to go early January.
Yeah.
Like, so the rest of the award shows, people don't pay attention to as much.
At this point, I don't care. I just don't care because it's so far into 2024.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I don't even remember those movies anymore.
Week of March.
It's March though. And by the time, you know, the Oscar was at the second week of March.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's technically, just, yeah. It's just too long.
It's a long process.
It's January 1st. Like this whole idea of like we have to get the movies out before December 31st so they can be acknowledged during that trial of, you know, when the Academy can review it. No, the deadline is December 1st. Have your movie out and that's it.
That's it.
So I mean, when you look at most of these films that have come out, you know, The Zone of Interest, we saw that TIFF.
Yeah.
Poor Things, that came out in November, maybe early December.
Yeah.
Past Lives early in the year.
If it comes out of a film earlier. Festival, that counts. You don't have to come out through a screening or a short run at a theater.
So like, does
it
like,
come out if it comes out during a festival?
If someone's able to watch it, that should qualify.
It should qualify, right. And then it can come out in theaters after January 1st. It doesn't have
to. So then are you saying like Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom is not eligible for any Oscar?
No, I mean, it technically is this year. It technically is, right?
Okay.
Because it came out in late December.
It deserves some.
It still made the cutoff. But what I was going to say, if I could remember what I was about to say, I'm trying to draw this out so I remember.
Remember-o.
Oh, my gosh.
Neville.
My gosh. What was I about to remember? It's gone.
It's gone. Too bad.
I know. It must have not mattered.
It'll come back to you in the middle of the recording when we're having a deep discussion.
When we're talking about something completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Oscars are golden statues.
Yeah.
Daniel, that's what you were trying to remember?
It's gone. Hopefully it will come back to
hopefully.
Me.
Hopefully. Yeah. You're like a sim. It's been deleted.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, this is what I'm going to say. Oh, there it was. It came back right now. I just saw one word. Maestro. Maestro. I saw it on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not in here. Maestro, when you look at Netflix films, this is what I was going to talk about. Netflix is notorious for this, where they just release it in enough time in theaters so it qualifies for being in award ceremonies, right?
Absolutely.
So they won't do it any longer than it needs to be.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Rebel Moon, not here.
Not in today.
Do we know how long? Is it like 2 weeks?
I think it's 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks. Yeah.
14 days.
Yeah. Because anything over that too, then they have to start paying more to the people who are in it. So it's a whole thing.
Oh, it's
sketchy.
It's a whole SAG thing.
It's a sketchy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the mafia.
Yeah, it's a movie mafia.
It's the Hollywood mafia.
Yeah. That'd be the name of that was the original name of our podcast.
Yeah. When we said, okay, what should we call our show? Anthony's like, movie mafia.
And we're like, that's a little too on the nose for you.
No. And then he's like, okay, fine. The movie podcast. Yeah. We're like, God damn it. That's two great names.
Imagine being questioned, like, you're in the mafia, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. But you have a podcast called The Hollywood Mafia. I'm like,
the Hollywood Mafia now?
Hollywood Mafia could be anything. It doesn't have to be about movies.
Let's go movie mafia. Imagine seeing like your pull quote.
Yeah.
Like, what are the greatest films of all time? Movie mafia.
Movie mafia. I'll kill you.
Okay. It's just like a wise guy with a fedora.
Yeah.
It's like a silhouette of him.
Yeah.
You know where there's a lot of mafia though?
Where?
Montreal?
Yes. But also in
Hollywood.
Hollywood. But also in Las Vegas.
And who's going to Las Vegas?
I think we are.
Okay.
Are we?
I think we are.
Yes, rumors are true.
The rumors are true.
Rumors are true.
In April, the movie podcast will be going to CinemaCon.
It's checking for my bachelorette.
And my birthday.
And your birthday.
And my birthday.
A bachelor party.
We're knocking everything out. We're going to knock out Anthony's birthday too a few months early.
Yeah. Mine too.
No. You're already celebrating something.
That's too early. Sorry, too early. It's too early.
We can celebrate
your half birthday.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. So we're all celebrating some. Yeah, we're literally going out. We'll do Shay's bachelor. Even though you're a married man now.
I'm married, but my reception is still in August, right?
I know.
Does that count?
No. I think if you say I do, then you don't. Then you're done.
You said I do, you're done.
Yeah, like I would say you're married, so that part of you.
I didn't get to have a bachelor party then.
That's true. But
that's your
my fault.
But it's funny because like a year ago we rewind the clocks back a year.
Joker.
I didn't do the voice though. we were in London.
Yeah, jolly old England.
And they say Las Vegas is the London of the United States.
Do they say that?
They do.
Who's saying this?
People from Las Vegas.
we're like London over here.
Monaco is the London, right? Like I would say the casino.
Monaco?
Yeah, because of Casino Royale.
But isn't that in France?
Monaco's in France, though.
Yeah.
South of France? Or
yeah, like we're talking about the States, though.
No, I'm saying, like, you said England is the Vegas of Europe.
Yeah.
And I said Monaco, I feel like, is more...
Monaco is the London of Europe?
Well, no, it's the Vegas of Europe.
They have a fake Eiffel Tower in Las Vegas. And, I mean, Eiffel Tower, London, Paris, what's the difference, right,
it's
guys?
The same thing to us, right?
Right, we're ignorant.
Yeah.
That's the point, right?
We're ignorant. We speak French
North
here.
Americans.
Oui, oui. Yeah. You know, but we're so excited. I mean, this is our first year going to CinemaCon. It's something that we've been wanting to go to for so long. And it's awesome that we get to go and get to bring you all the news. So, of course, if you want to stay up to date with all of the presentations, because, again, we're going to be getting previews for films that are coming out only next year and things like that. So the movie podcast, the best place to be for this year and for next year, right?
You think we're going to get movies for 2025?
Not watching them, but we're going to get trailers for them, right?
Okay. We'll get like posters. Yeah. And
I'm telling you right now, I'm putting in the universe. We're going to get footage of Superman and I cannot wait for us.
Superman, man. Yeah.
But we're going to get it. And that's going to be really big.
That's going to be really cool.
Yeah. David Cornstead, he's going to be there. We're going to talk to him.
You think?
I hope so.
I hope so.
If James Gunn there, we'll talk to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Gunn.
It's going to be a wild, what is it, 7 days?
The wild week. You had the perfect name for it. It's going to be a wild
7 days.
Seven days.
7 days in Vegas sounds like a film that Scorsese would have made, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's too long though in Vegas from what I hear. People say that, you know, we're going for like an entire year.
Like
7 days.
We're going to age a year.
We'll be seeing people that went to Vegas, then left, then came back for the next weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And it's our first time.
The first time.
For all of our first times.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. Yeah. Been watching a lot of videos, a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And you're watching the wrong movies. Like you're watching Casino.
That's the wrong movie?
That's the wrong movie.
Yeah, because it's like not the greatest.
I didn't watch Casino yet. I watched Ocean's 11.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You're robbing a casino.
Well, isn't that what we're going to go do? Aren't we going to go rob the Bellagio MGM Grand?
Well, they don't rob a casino in Vegas, right? They technically, they're taking money off the top, but they don't pull a heist in casino.
Oh, I was talking about Ocean's 11.
Sorry. Ocean's 11, yeah.
They do rob that.
Oh, we should also watch 21.
21, yeah.
21?
Yeah. The one with the...
Jim Sturgis and Kate Bosworth and
Kevin McDonald.
Spache. But also our boy. Why can't I think of his name?
Josh Gad?
No. Josh Gad is technically in it.
But I don't know if he's
Oh my God. He's in so many films. Boys in the Hood and Ant-Man Quantumania. No.
Who was last one you said?
Not Quantumania. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Morpheus.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I didn't know why I didn't lead with that one.
Why did you lead with Matrix?
I forgot.
What were the movies you led with, sorry?
I said he was in
Boys
21.
In Boys,
Boys
in
the Hood.
And Quantumania.
And Quantumania, which he wasn't in. No, I said no, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. I'm like, yes, Lawrence Fishburne.
I couldn't think of the
He's
Matrix.
He's great in that movie, by the way. He's so good in
Matrix?
21. And 21.
And 21, yeah.
Yeah. He's so good at that.
Have you seen 21, Anthony?
No.
I think you'd like
maybe
it.
Maybe I have.
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know if
it.
He would like
you
it.
Don't think you'd like it?
No, I think he'd enjoy it, but he'd be like, yeah.
Is it like a card counting type of
card counting movie? Yeah.
Kevin Spacey's in it?
Yeah.
I think I've seen a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's
never
a very
really
2007
gone.
Movie. Very.
It opens with MGMT, so you know it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it in high school. I'm like, this is cool. Same. Movie. I want to count cards when
I'm going
to
be Rain Man. Oh, Rain Man is another good one.
Rain Man.
Is that Atlantic City or is that Vegas?
Who's the Rain Man out of us three?
Probably I feel it'll be you.
Yeah, you.
Oh, no. I'm not good with math.
I know.
Yeah, but that's why you're going to surprise us.
Yeah, you're surprising us.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, we surprised. Well, we lost everything.
Anthony, we only gave you $10.
I would drop like 40 toothpicks on the ground, and you'd be like, there's three. No, Anthony, there's way more than three.
Secret skill. We didn't
three,
know.
There's three down there.
We didn't
Anthony,
know. No. It's going to be fun, though.
It's going to be fun.
Be fun.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Can't wait. And you can follow us on our socials to see all our updates. So you can catch us on Instagram, TikTok, X. What else are we on?
Letterboxd,
yeah. Which we won't use until
YouTube. We're about to hit a big milestone there too.
YouTube, we're about to hit 4,000.
If we haven't already.
But
I'm going to check right now.
Maybe by the time this episode comes out, which maybe, but if you haven't subscribed, go and subscribe because that would do us a huge favor.
15 away, 15 there. Away from a big milestone for us.
And another big milestone, our Patreon.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We have so many people signing up for it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We've been releasing episodes, and I think we have a special one coming out soon.
We do have a very special one.
Dude.
Yeah, so we will have our special subscriber-only episode spoiler discussion of Dune and Dune Part 2. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for
Stay
Dune.
Doomed.
Stay
tuned.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for more.
And if you have any suggestions on what to do when we're in Vegas, let us know. Tell
Please.
Us what to avoid and what to do. If you're a Vegas head, you're a Vegas knight.
If you're from Vegas.
If you're a Vegas Golden Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then tell us.
We should go watch the Golden Knights.
I heard there's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Because of the strip, because of how the lanes are broken up. So if you wanted to get on one side of the street, it's not like there's a
you can't cross
easy
the street.
Traffic light. You have to walk to like maybe a crosswalk or some sort of skywalk to get over to the other side.
Interesting.
So things
like
that.
Like I think walking though.
Bringing running shoes is
comfortable shoes is important. And it's going to be hot. It's a desert.
Yeah.
So
but you know what?
Sunscreen. Arrakis. Arrakis. Yeah.
What was recently? They did the Super Bowl in Vegas, and it was as cold there as it is here.
I don't like that.
It was hitting like 9 degrees. I think at night.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. I hope it's warm.
We had a nice day today.
Yeah.
We had a nice day today.
Super warm.
Yeah.
But today is all about Oscar predictions.
Oscar predictions.
What year? This is the 90th Academy Awards?
96.
96. Sorry. Yeah. Six off. 96 Academy Awards.
It's fast math.
This is one of the biggest. We're soon going to hit 100. That's crazy. 100.
What do you think they do for their 100th Oscars?
Dude, they got to like change it up. They have to change it up. No more Oscars.
They're done after 100.
That's it.
100 Oscar ceremonies. They've got to do something big.
Oh, they got to do something huge for that one. I think they should bring back Jimmy Kimmel. Like, is there no one? I like Jimmy Kimmel. Don't get me wrong here, but is there no one else? Time. Is there no one else?
I don't think anyone wants to do it.
No,
no one wants a job.
That's also true.
I think a lot of comedians, from what I've been hearing, especially from new comedians, they like the risk that goes into hosting, but they don't. They're not really committed to the just making people happy when majority of the people in the that room is unhappy. They're like vain, they're Hollywood, they're just very stuck up. So it's like it's a crowd there that is just difficult to work, especially now. Maybe, you know, 20 years ago it would have been easier to just get some, you know, poke fun of the jokes and maybe elevate the jokes.
Tensions are higher now, right?
Tensions are higher.
Last time someone made fun of someone, they got a slap in the face. So it's like, why am I risking this?
Why
am I risking my career? Because I don't need it. I don't need, like, really the Oscars doesn't change you as a comedian. You're still going to have your own fan base. And I think a lot of people have, especially young comedians, they have a huge fan base outside of, you know, what Hollywood wants, you know, the typical comedian fan base to be.
Yeah, I mean, because look, when you look at the internet, and this is another discussion, I mean, you look at TikTok and YouTube, and so many comedians have their followers now, and they'll always have those followers. And I think of somebody, even like a huge comedian like Ricky Gervais, who can say whatever he wants in those award settings, because that is his brand of comedy, and he'll always have work, because so much of what he does is written by him.
Yeah.
It's produced by him. And it's just him. And it's unapologetically Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Where if you have someone like Joe Coy, he tried to go funny. He bombed really bad because he didn't commit. Like, if you wanted to tell a fun, like, be funnier, just don't be like, oh, boobies.
Yeah.
Like, okay, dude, like, come on, man. But, like,
you know what? I don't
be
know.
Funny.
I don't know Joe Coy's comedy that well. And I haven't really watched it. So I don't know if that is also his shtick. That could be what he does. He must be that kind of a comedian.
Yeah. But it's just like, it doesn't
transcend.
No. So, like, if you're going to do it, then do it. But yeah, no. Jimmy Kimmel, I think he's a safe bet, right?
Safe bet. But you know what I'd love to see?
Who?
Mulaney. He did a great job at the Governor's Awards.
Yep.
Really funny guy.
I'm not a big fan of his voice. I feel like his voice is super annoying at a certain point.
Wow, that's like, I'm not a big fan of his voice. I hate him so much.
Yeah. It's
a very distinct voice.
It's a very distinct voice. And it's just voice. Like, I'm John Mulaney. And it's just, it gets repetitive. And I'm like, you sound like you're from a different time period.
He sounds like he's from like the 50s, right?
He does sound like he's in the 50s.
Yeah.
The 40s or the 50s.
Yeah. I think getting a robot is so much better.
A robot.
AI is going to host 100 Oscars.
We're going to the Oscars.
Who's going to cancel AI?
My arm can grow back.
Yours can't. You can't cancel AI.
That's a Canadian reference right there.
My name is Aptar.
We get Aptar, yes.
Planet Danger.
Why do you want Planet Danger?
Oh my gosh. We should I feel like we're not far away from it being like, oh, we're going to resurrect this person as a hologram. In our lifetime we'll see it.
We're
going to have like
Tupac hosting the Oscars.
Not Tupac, but like we're going to have like somebody like from the past be like, yeah. here's
Marlon Brando.
Presenting
the words out of my mouth.
Yeah. Like, oh,
Marlon Brando and Robert De Niro are going to present Best Actor.
Like, Anthony, why? You and I, like 4 years ago at this point, maybe longer, we read that story about James Dean. Like doing it using like and that was before the AI boom really took off. So I imagine if that movie's even going to happen, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I honestly like no hosts, just get to the awards.
We had it before, right?
We've had it before.
Smooth sailing.
It worked well.
And isn't it this year also where they're doing the, what was it again? Like they're bringing back the nominees.
Yeah, past and present.
Yeah, which they should do that all the time. Like, or they'll probably do it again for the 100th.
But it seems it's cringy because you have like this, almost like this medieval ceremony where you have like the knights the best actors and best actresses to show up.
Yeah.
And then they give, like, you gotta kiss the ring.
Yeah. It's just fun though. Like it's nice to see. My biggest problem with the Oscars has been it never feels like it's celebrating movies. No. It never feels like it's celebrating fun of movies, right? There's no montages anymore. There's no really opening acts. It's like, okay, you have a comedian roasting the audience, doing jokes.
Yeah.
You're not getting anything too risque, like Anthony said, because everyone wants to kind of make it a fun night and not piss anyone off. But it's like, yeah, just bring back the love of movies. Make like there's edits that people do and that we get every year, like, oh, here's the best movies of last year. And they're like some of the greatest edits you'll see. Those should be playing at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Celebrate the movies that you're honoring.
Yeah, like I used to love when they would do like, and they would go through each film. Like I look back to was the Emmys where Conan went through all the different shows, for example. And I remember
that happened
like,
so much more, right? The MTV Movie Awards.
MTV Movie Awards. They don't do that anymore.
No.
No. Well, maybe we can give them some feedback.
Yeah.
When they invite us to the Academy Award.
Best podcast about movies called the Movie Podcast.
A specific award.
How did we lose?
So we're going to go through each of these categories.
Yeah.
Some of these categories, honestly, I cannot choose. Well, so like things like animated shorts and short films, I haven't seen a lot.
We go with our gut.
We go with the gut.
Go with the gut.
We go with, sometimes I just pick it by the name.
Yeah. Like what name sounds like it'd be read.
Yes. Yeah. Always.
And,
yeah.
And the winner is,
but like the major Bethlehem. Ones, we're going to really go in depth on why we think they're, why we consider them the best option.
Yeah. And make sure you guys, we're using Layered Butters, Oscar ballot contest. So go enter that if you like.
Go enter that.
And for us using it right now, make sure you guys take a screenshot and do the full page one so we can make sure see it.
Yeah,
so we're sure keeping us all accountable. So we'll see who wins.
Check out our link down below.
I think Anthony has the most wins out of all of us from the years that we've been doing this.
This guy here.
You're gonna call me this bitch. Eh?
Yeah, I was. You said this. Anthony, we do call Anthony the Oscar bitch.
We do call him that. We call him Oscar bitch.
OB.
The majority of my picks are all like I'm literally guessing.
Yeah,
well, not for the majority.
That's
though.
Why you're our. That's why you're a Rain Man.
I guess, or I'm like some sort.
And they got perfect score.
Perfect score. Let's start off with best visual effects.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum.
We got The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, and Napoleon. Daniel, start off with you. Who do you think?
This is tough because I see it going one of two ways, maybe one of three ways. Let's make it one of five ways. I think The Creator is a film that a lot of people are going to be like, this was really impressive. And the people who are voting in this category are going to be like, yeah, what The Creator did was incredible. The other mind I have right now is saying that this is the only category that Godzilla Minus One is in.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a surprise victory for it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Guardians, which obviously was incredible. The team who's doing that is now working Superman Legacy, and they've been doing so much promotion for Guardians and the work they did with Rocket and all that. I'm going to say that the winner is going to be I'm going to say it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Cool.
Yeah.
Shay.
I'm going to see it's going to be Godzilla Minus One. I just think, you know, they wanted the Globes, right?
Sure. I don't know. Do they have best visual effects at the Globes?
I don't think they do.
What did Godzilla Minus One won something recently, or am I just tripping? I could be making it up. The point is, I think, I don't think a lot of people watch The Creator. I don't think a lot of the Academy people watch The Creator.
But it's just VFX people voting for it, right?
Or is that the case? Is that how it goes?
Yes.
But it'd be people in the Academy who are
that. Makes sense, right? Godzilla Minus One, then, I think it's just going to... I don't know why. I can see it winning.
I see it winning, too. Or even Mission, right? Because Mission's like, oh, it's a big movie. We're going to...
Surprised if Mission won. Not that it has bad effects. No. I think it has great effects. I just don't think people look at it for that.
For effects, yeah.
I think Godzilla Minus One as well. Just because, it had such a boom in the last part of 2023, and people were talking about it because I think they spent like 20 million or 30 million on the budget, and it was like a shoestring budget, and they got the visual effects they got.
Yeah.
And right now I think it's been winning a lot of visual effects awards within their industry that's not like big Hollywood stuff. Plus it's just an inspirational thing from a group of guys who just thought like, let's make something great, and look where they are now. Like The Creator is fantastic, but I just don't think it had the pop that Godzilla had.
No, like, Godzilla had a big moment, right?
Godzilla Minus One. Exactly. I've watched it visually. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, massive budget visual effects. That's crazy what they were up to.
Yeah. It's really impressive. But yeah, I there's no really bad options in this category. Oppie should be here 100%.
Oh my God.
This was Nolan's category.
Yes.
For so many years.
If it was there, I would have given it to Oppie.
Oppie would 100% won. But yeah, I think no matter where it goes, I think it's a great option. But yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with Guardians.
Cool.
I chose.
You chose that too?
Godzilla Minus One.
Okay.
Yeah. Going on to best film editing, we got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I'm not going to say the names. I'm just going to go right to the movie.
Yeah, because the people's names don't matter, right?
No, they don't matter.
There's going to be someone in our comments like, wow, you did not honor that.
Of course, you guys. It's part of the shtick.
There's a lot of names.
No, it's okay. Fine. We'll go through it.
When we go through
the winners on our post-Oscar stuff, we'll talk about it then for sure.
Yeah. So, I'll say it again. Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. This is for best editing.
Don't even ask me.
It's Oppie. It's Oppenheimer. We have a 3-hour film that feels like it's 30 minutes long. It's a magic trick. And what they were able to pull off in that film, I think, cutting between black and white, color, different storylines, different timelines. How did it happen?
I put on Oppenheimer a couple nights ago.
I'm going to put it on right now while we do this episode.
I put it on a couple nights ago just to see what the quality of it looked like on Prime Video because it just came out. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I ended up just watching the whole thing, like just totally by accident.
Yeah.
It's that good.
So you had the 3 hours to spend and you spent it.
Yeah. I mean, I was making food and seemed, I was like, it was my kitchen with the TV right there. And I was like, right.
You were doing the American
Thanksgiving.
Dream.
American dream.
The new American dream. Yeah,
that's what they call it.
So American are you doing Oppie?
Oppie.
Yeah, I'm Oppie.
Anthony?
I'm going to go with Oppie, but I there's this thing about Anatomy of a Fall that really,
you think my gut
is like, it's a surprise just because of the tension it builds throughout that film.
Yeah.
And how the court case works.
I can see
it
also.
It works winning. You like it, and you work it like you're in this mindset of a juror member and you're trying to figure out, is she guilty? Is she not guilty? You're going through the evidence. There's a lot of things that I love about the editing of Anatomy of Fall, but Oppenheimer is just, it's just an evolution of Nolan's thinking, like non-linear editing. Like
when Anatomy of Fall, I'm going to give it its flowers very soon though.
Yeah.
And we'll give it its flowers soon.
I think Oppenheimer for film editing.
Wicked. Do you want to keep doing it off, or do you want to trade it off to any one of us?
Yeah, you can go.
Best costume design. Bow, bow. We have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Anthony, we'll get you to start us off.
I'm going to go with Poor Things. I think the design, the costume designs in that film are unique and just different that you haven't seen before in a film. And it has the vibe that the costumes really pull the characters into this magical world. So I think they just work hand in hand. And that's the Bella's uniform and her dress that she's always wearing, as you see it, it just sticks in your mind. So yeah, I think Poor Things is going to be the winner of that category.
Okay. Shabazz, how about yourself?
Yeah, Poor Things. I think it has that look. I can see the sketches popping up during the nominations.
Yeah, I think
Poor Things is right there.
It's a Barbie's, tough one.
Barbie's like my second.
Barbie's my choice.
Barbie's your choice?
Barbie's my choice because cool. I'm like, Barbie's all about fashion. But we look in the past with who's won this category. You look at films like Cruella.
Yeah.
Barbie, fashion everywhere in that film.
It's right there, man. Absolutely.
I think I can see it going either way, but I think it's going to be Barbie because I also think of the bigger picture of, think of Margot at every single premiere event, every single carpet. She's been wearing a different line of Barbie's clothes. Yeah. They have that Barbie book coming out. I think they're really pushing for this one in costume design. And I think this is where Barbie's going to win for the night. It's going to be in costume design.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to best makeup and hairstyling. We have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. Shay, I'm going to get you to start us off.
You know what? I'm a little like just thrown for a loop with this one because I can see it going a lot of different ways. Also, none of these movies really were the ones that I was like, oh man, this has the best hairstyling or makeup. I feel like I want to give it to Poor Things here again because it just felt like
William Dafoe's face.
William Dafoe's face, for example, the disfigurement. Yeah. Society of Snow would be a really cool one to see win because obviously you see a lot happen in that film with how they changed in the past over the couple months, and the makeup and hairstyling is a reflection of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Maestro will win because people really were calling out that nose, for example. And
it's very like, it doesn't look good on the big screen.
It
looks, doesn't work.
It didn't blend, right?
It didn't blend.
So I'm going to give it to Poor Things here.
I was dying of laughter at David Krumholtz when he was on the carpet, and he was like, yeah, Maestro. Yeah, that was my nose in Maestro. I'm like, wow.
That's so
what
funny.
A
That's
guy. Funny. For me, best makeup and hairstyling. You guys said Poor Things.
I said Poor Things. Did you say Poor Things as well?
I haven't said anything yet.
You haven't said anything yet. What would you say,
Hold
though?
Hold your peace.
Well, you know, Society of the Snow has such like an extensive amount of practicalness to it, but like watching the behind the scenes and how they transform these group of men who were trapped in this plane and like making them kind of like starting to shrivel up and adding the beard and the hair and the scars and the gauntness of being on this mountain for 3 months. I think it really showcases the transitional period of being there. With Poor Things, you know, you're just introduced to William Dafoe's character as being this kind of like Frankenstein dude, and he is kind of Frankensteinish. I think I'm going to give it to Society of the Snow.
I like that.
Society of the Snow, that's great. Yeah, for me, I think best makeup and hairstyling, I think this is going to be Poor Things. I think this is where Poor Things is going to get its trophy, for sure. Shall we go to best cinematography?
Mm-hmm.
We have Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, and El Conde. I'm going to start. And I'm going to say Oppenheimer. Oppie. Hoyte van Hoytema? Like, are you kidding me? Like, when you look at like what he was able to pull off with IMAX, a 3-hour runtime, the majority of that film is full frame IMAX. It is gorgeous.
It feels like a lot of natural light as well.
Feels like a lot of natural light. Watching it at home and just seeing the ripples and the realness of the film. I mean, that film, think about the pandemonium that happened when people wanted to go watch that in 70mm IMAX. Mm-hmm. People wanted to go watch it on film.
That's the thing.
I think this is Oppenheimer's lock. Shay.
Oppenheimer lock. It's his. We're just going Oppenheimer all year, bro.
Oppenheimer everywhere. Anthony?
It's also Oppenheimer. I think the technical achievement of being able to shoot with an IMAX camera, get it on film, 70mm, have this huge like movement to go watch it in 70mm. I think it's just a testament to this movie and Van Hoytema's technique. Like, I think it's just fantastic, and it's a beautiful looking movie.
Yeah.
But there's also movies that I saw this that are not there. I was telling you guys, Priscilla is a beautiful looking film.
Yeah,
like it's one of the best looking films I saw last year, and it's strange to have it not be recognized.
Yeah,
this year,
wild,
tough.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, this year,
Oppenheimer.
Shay, do you want to read the next ones?
I would love to read the next one. Best production design. We have Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Napoleon, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Barbie. Daniel, what do you got?
This is another tough one because I think like I'm
all great.
I'm debating between Poor Things, Oppie, and Barbie.
Yeah.
Realistically, I'm thinking more Barbie and Poor Things because Barbie had the whole dreamland, which I think was really incredible. But I think it's going to go to Poor Things because Poor Things throughout visually beautiful film.
Yeah.
Again, I'd love to see it go to Oppie because I want Oppie to do really well. But I think it's going to be production design. I think it's going to be Poor Things.
Okay. Anthony, what about yourself?
The same. I think it's Poor Things. Just the structural designs of a lot of these sets and just the weird and awkwardness to these buildings in Poor Things just add to the whole character and the whole story that's happening in front of you.
Right.
I think it just... Barbie, you expect that. With Poor Things, I didn't. Because it has like this old English vibe, but there's also a really cool... modest, you know, minimalistic feel to it as well. So it is difficult. You think the first thing that comes to mind is like Barbie. Yeah, she's in her house and the way she floats down and the car and the whole look and the waves and how that works in this world. But you know, Poor Things just feels much more realer and much like I can actually touch it.
Right. No, I totally see the argument for a lot of these in here. And I put Barbie down just because I mean, you know, it felt like that's also that thing. But you guys are absolutely right about Poor Things because that movie is just dictated by its design, its production design. It looks like it's leading. It's a character of its own, really.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have Best Sound, The Zone of Interest, Oppenheimer, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, but no longer called Part 1, so just Dead Reckoning. Maestro, the creator. This is also a very interesting category.
It's a tough one. I'm between Mission and Oppie.
Okay.
Mission, because obviously Mission is such a feast for sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Oppenheimer is that film that they're going to be like, yeah, like the sound of the bomb and the testing. Like, also,
the
I think
Geiger this, counter, just
the Geiger
it.
Counter. I think this is Nolan's one of his best mixed films as well, too.
Not Tenet.
Not because like we could like everything sounds so crisp and yeah. clear, and the sound effects, you feel them in your bones.
Yeah.
You so do. I'm going to go Oppie.
Anthony,
I'm also going to go with Oppie.
Yeah, same here. I think summed up best original song. What was I made for? From Barbie. Whoa. Was Hazi a song for my people from Killers of the Flower Moon? It never went away. I'm just Ken and the fire inside. Anthony, what do you got?
You know, I think What Was I Made For was made for.
It was made award. For an Oscar.
It was yeah. made Even though I haven't really Oscar. Like heard it that much.
I heard it a lot.
We heard really? It in Barbie, and I heard it in Barbie, and heard it at award shows.
But and I'm hearing it like when I go to the mall and I'm crying.
Oh man,
I'm just kidding.
But I feel like Dua Lipa's song was more heard.
I agree.
Dua Lipa's song was definitely
the banger
from the Barbie soundtrack. But I don't think it was like that song was going to be a banger whether it was part of Barbie or not type
right,
thing.
Right.
Where this like what you guys were saying, like this feels like it was we're making the song for the Barbie movie soundtrack that's going to be on the award junket. But again, I wouldn't be surprised because look what happened at the Golden Globes. I'm Just Ken won.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what if I'm Just Ken
who
wins?
Picks, who picks original song? Are they musicians who are part of
the Academy? Because I don't think everybody votes in it, or maybe they do. I don't know. We yeah, should know. I feel like we did an episode on this and now we forget.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like with award stuff. Also, just you know. Just yeah. win. I don't really know.
It happens. Voting. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. So yeah. Right? What was I made for? Just because it has that emotional beat and the connection to the yeah. story of Barbie. Of
and this why will be Billie's second Oscar.
Yeah.
As well too.
Yeah. I don't think she should have won for
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. That was an awful song.
Who was she nominated against?
Though? I don't know who was nominated.
I don't know. But like it was such a boring song.
It was a tough year. But again, it's kind of the same thing here, right? Where we're getting these ballads, right? These safe ballads that usually always win Oscars.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think the No Time to Die theme was Oscar worthy. I thought it was fun.
We
song.
Also had it for such a long time too.
Such
because
a long time.
It literally was like a year because that movie was delayed, right?
Yeah.
So the films that, so again, we're just going to rewind the clocks quickly.
A little tangent.
So if we go to 2022,
yeah.
If we're looking at the best songs, I will be there in one moment.
No worries. I am going to fill this time. Here we go.
So we have the winner, which was No Time to Die.
Yeah.
We had Be Alive, which was Beyonce.
From what movie?
From, it's right here.
you was wrong.
King Richard.
Oh, yes. Because yes,
remember
yes.
the performance you did too? Yeah, not a memorable song, though.
Not a performance.
Not a memorable song. Dos Gorritas from Encanto. Down to Joy, which is from Belfast.
That was Encanto year, and Encanto didn't win.
Encanto didn't win because they didn't submit
Bruno.
We didn't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, they didn't submit.
How
that
do
song.
You not put that song yeah. there?
They didn't want to talk about Bruno. That's why.
And somehow you do. For this is Diane Warren's.
That's it.
That's how it won.
That's how
it's
it won.
A weird year.
It was like these winner by default almost.
Yeah. 5 years. Sorry, 4 years. Like during COVID and after COVID, it's like such a. Like right. clusterfuck of yeah. like we don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah,
I think this year we're a little bit better. We're getting on track to you know finding the right things to be nominated and yeah, making yeah. the wise yeah. choices.
Guys, don't make my mistake and search up best dongs
2023. Wait, who won though? Was that Chris Evans' year?
Yeah, but I thought Lady Gaga was locked because she was like the What for Was I Made year? For last year.
Oh,
for Top Gun.
Top Gun,
but yeah, it was Not to, which was a big song too.
Big track,
but yeah, Gaga's song was so
didn't
good.
We
though.
Also have Rihanna's song last year too from Wakanda Forever.
Lift Me Up.
Lift. Was that this year?
That was 2022 for 2023. So yeah. It was last year. She did not win.
Yeah. Anthony, do you want to read the next one?
Yeah. We got Best Original Score. American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Why you gotta ask us?
And then I'm gonna go. I'll start.
Yeah.
Why should I ask you? What if you want to change it?
Okay, ask me.
I'm gonna change it. Poor Things.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
Oppenheimer by Ludwig Göransson.
Ludwig.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Oppie.
It's always Oppie.
I love John Williams. There's no one alive who doesn't like John Williams. But really, a nomination for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny?
The most, again, love John Williams.
Love.
This is a throwaway nomination.
Yeah. Because
you burnt a card on John Williams. Like,
you could have given that to somebody else.
You should have given it to Michael Giacchino for Absolutely. Society of the Snow. Daniel Pemberton for Across the Spider-Verse. God, yes. How are they not here?
What the shit, man?
Wilds.
Yeah,
Wild.
Indiana Jones, John Williams, more of a respect vote. And that's where you're like, oh, this is the politics,
right? But same with another category, which we'll talk about soon with Best Director.
It's such a political game with the Oscars, right? Robbie Robinson, you know, rest in peace. But I don't think his score for Killers of the Flower Moon was elevated that movie.
I the only part of that score I remember, and again, rest in peace, incredible musician, but just the whole harmonica, that dum 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 dum. Like, that's all I remember from that film.
Sorry?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes into like other types of music, which is great. But it was fine. But Killers of the Flower Moon, I'm not leaving that film thinking about the score at all.
It also sound like Untouchables, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Like that beat. So, Oppenheimer, Ludwig. Best animated short film. Okay, so now we're getting into categories.
We're just going with the heart.
Yeah, we're going with the heart. We're going with the name. And we got Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderme, and War is Over.
I'm going War is Over.
Me too.
Solely based on the name recognition and what it's being based on.
Same. Because the whole name of it is War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
Do you guys know that Yoko Ono follows me on Twitter?
Yoko Ono?
Yeah. Why?
She's the one who broke up the Beatles.
You're going to be the one that breaks the movie podcast now.
Yeah.
She follows me, yeah.
Yoko Ono, bro.
Oh, man.
Daniel's Yoko Ono.
He's a Yoko.
I'm the Yoko.
Don't tell her that.
I'm going to say Letter to a Pig.
That also sounds like something that Julianne Moore would say on stage. Like,
Letter to a Pig.
And the best Oscar goes to Letter to a Pig.
Oink, oink. Why, Julianne, you never say that.
That's so funny.
Okay.
Best live action short film. The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Henry Sugar is getting my vote here.
And that's the one that was aired on Netflix. It's
Wes Anderson.
Yes. Yeah. What's the guy who did
Wizard Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Roald Dahl that books, dude. Yeah. I think it's going to go there.
Shay?
I can see it being Wes Anderson as well. Something about hearing Red, White, and Blue. Just,
right? You know, again, it's such a weird thing. You think about it.
Red, White, and Blue. And then all the Americans just start cheering.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna give her the wonderful, wonderful story of Henry Sugar as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that as well. Because I think it got good praise on Netflix. Yeah. Even though I don't think a lot of people know it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Best documentary short film. The ABCs of Book Banning. The Barber of Little Rock. Island in Between. The Last Repair Shop, Nainaiwaipo.
I'm between two of these right now.
Is The Barber of Little Rock one of them?
And the other one is?
The other one's probably The Last Repair Shop.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are the two names that I'm like, I can hear them saying.
You know what's bad, though? There's probably so many people who are eligible to vote for this category, and I think for documentary, anyone can.
Okay.
That they'll just do what we're doing. Like, well,
what do you hear Julianne Moore saying?
What do you hear Julianne Moore saying?
that's what they base it off of. Gosh. As well. What is Julianne Moore?
What's Julianne Moore saying?
Yeah. So,
I'm gonna go with The Barber of Little Rock.
Same.
Okay.
Same here. What about you?
I'll choose what you didn't pick, which
the
is
The Last Repair Shop?
The Last Repair Shop.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I think.
Where's Little Rock, Arkansas?
Sure.
Okay.
Little Rock, Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Best documentary feature film. This is the feature. Yeah, this is the full. Yeah, okay. Sorry. No, I'm just looking because it was a short film and a feature film. So,
Bobby?
Yeah, sorry. Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, 20 Days in Maripol.
I'm going with 20 Days in Maripol.
I gave it to To Kill a Tiger, because
another one,
because I saw that on, I didn't see it.
Is it because it says David Oppenheim?
Yeah, you know what? Now it is. Hell yeah. No, I just kept seeing it on Twitter and everyone was praising it.
Yeah, this is one that Idris Elba would announce.
Yeah.
And the old school goes to Kill a Tiger.
To get a rough roll.
I played a Shere Khan in Jungle Book.
And I think To Kill a Tiger is by someone, like who? Like I think like someone was promoting it or something.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about you, Anthony?
I'm going to choose Four Daughters.
Oh, you know what? I think it's because it's Canadian as well. It was at TIFF. It was at TIFF. That's why.
Yes, it was at TIFF.
Yes.
I remember
it's
TIFF.
It's a Canadian one too.
Is it like based on
a man, his daughter, the trial of their lives?
To Kill a Tiger, is it like based on Indian, Sri Lankans?
Indian farmer Ranjit takes on the fight of his life when he demands justice for his 13-year-old daughter. Yeah.
I thought it was like Tamil Tiger, you know? Like
yeah, Tamils, I know.
It was like,
no, I remember hearing about this, and I remember hearing that like it was really damn good. So I want to check it out for sure.
I'm going to choose Four Daughters, and I'm curious to know what it's about, but yeah, I'm going to choose Four Daughters.
Cool.
Okay, last category I'm going to do, and then I'll pass it to Daniel. Best international film, feature film. We have
come on, you're Italian, you can say it.
Capitano. Il Capitano, which is from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of Snow, Spain, The Teacher's Lounge, Germany, and The Zone of Interest, United Kingdom.
This is tough because...
Very tough, but...
The Zone of Interest being here throws it off. Because yeah. I would 100% choose Society of the Snow.
100%.
Or either Il Capitano, you know, because that was a really big one.
Perfect Days is a big one too.
And Perfect Days, yeah. But I'm going to go with Zone of Interest because I think this is where Zone of Interest mm-hmm. will take its trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I will also be going with Zone of Interest.
But again, if Zone of Interest was not here, Society of the Snow.
Society of the Snow.
It deserves it.
Yeah. What a film. Okay. What a film.
Daniel.
Best animated feature. We have The Boy in the Heron. Boy in the Heron. Elemental. Nimona. Robot Dreams and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Gosh.
We'll kick things off with Anthony. What is your choice?
The Boy and the Heron.
Shabazz.
Look, here's what I want. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, but I think it comes back to a lot of different things of people being like, well, we already gave the first one the Oscar, and is this really a second film? What is this, a complete
movie? This is a half blah, a blah, movie, blah. Yeah.
So I think Boy and the Heron, yeah, I think it kind of feels like it has a lock, but I want it to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Boy and the Heron because it's been doing really well everywhere else. Again, there is an argument to be made for all of these films because Absolutely. When it comes to Oscars, you never know.
I chose Boy and the Heron. It's just because it's an animation style we haven't gone, right? Like it's just...
Or we haven't had in a while, right?
Yeah, we haven't had in a while. It is all hand-drawn. Like that, I know the technical achievement Spider-Man has done. But they've done it. Like that was last year or the year before. They won that award.
2019?
6 years ago.
Six years ago?
Yeah. 2018, they was there. And 2019, they won.
2019, they won. Yeah. So wow. Wild now. Wow. They elevated it even further, I think, in this one. Yeah, too, but
like,
right?
I'm tired of that anime. Like, I get it.
You're tired already?
I'm tired of 3D animation, man. I'm just tired of it.
Damn.
I want to go back to like hand drawn stuff.
Yeah, I would love hand drawn stuff.
It's so
people's hands are how they used to be.
They don't have hands anymore.
They got no hands in the industry.
But like, it's such a lost art form.
Yeah,
honestly, and I don't mean with no disrespect. Computers are a lot easier to do things than it is to draw.
All
right, right? Like you have to draw each frame. Yes, you can animate each frame, but you can also build code to animate each frame. Like I've done it. We've done it. I've done it in school. Like it's I don't want to get into this fucking battle with animators right now.
Battle with animators.
But like, no, but it's a respect thing too.
I get what you're saying.
I get it. I think Hayao Miyazaki most likely is going to be his last film.
Yeah.
No, he has one more, man.
I know he says he does, but by the time is it going to come out in time?
He's really old,
you know. So really old we'll see. But I think he's going to. I think Boy in the Heron's going to win this. But again, I could see going to Spider-Verse, even Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams. These are all films that you hear a lot of.
I can see really just talking about Boy and Spider. That's it.
Let's go to a best adapted screenplay. This is an interesting one. We have American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Shabazz, start us off.
You're asking me, even though you know the answer?
I'm asking you for the answer.
Oppenheimer. Based on the novel biography, sorry.
Robert J. Oppenheimer.
I want it to be Oppenheimer, and this is the thing. This is a heart versus mind.
Sick man.
Because I wanted, like, maybe on Oscar night, I'll be like, oh, we'll do, like, the... Not for it to count, what I want to win versus what I think is going to win.
Yeah. That's what we do.
I want Oppenheimer to win this, because, again, you're taking that book, and Nolan made that. Barbie being here...
Is throwing the curveball for you?
Because it wasn't originally going to be here, right? It's going to be an original screenplay. Even American Fiction, Poor Things being here, and Zone of Interest. This is a tough category.
Yeah, I mean, I want Oppenheimer to win. Do I think it's going to win? I don't know.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Barbie in this.
Cool.
Like, what do you base best original adapted screenplay on? Is it the amount of words? Is it the story it tells? Like, what is it? Because if you look at Zone of Interest, it's not a lot of dialogue in that. It's more visual.
Yeah.
But there's a story there for sure.
It's because you're basing it on something that's pre-existing. Just like when you look at James Mangold was nominated for Logan, best adapted screenplay. He wasn't adapting like Old Man Logan, like word for word. Not at all.
Character, if anything,
it's like
right?
We're adapting it because it's based on a character. Same with Barbie, right? Barbie's not based on a book.
So when you think of it, what makes you choose Barbie? Is it because of?
I just think I'm trying to get inside the mind of the voters right now. that's it. I'm not. Again, this isn't me saying
Vegas odds.
What's it over and under?
Absolutely.
I'm guessing this. This is my prediction. This isn't me. My vote.
Right.
My vote for it would be Oppie. But I think it's going to be Barbie based on Barbie being in a lot of categories. I think it's going to lose in a lot of categories that it's in because it's up against Poor Things and Oppenheimer.
Yep.
And I think Barbie's that film where it's like there was so much conversation about it being in this category. Yeah. They're going to be like, you know what? We want to give one to Greta. And for the achievement that is Barbie, and it's going to be
this
one.
Do you think it's an optics Absolutely. Thing? Because
Greta was nominated
for best director.
Everything's involved here, right? And that'll be the story. If she does win, she's good enough to win best screenplay, but not
best director?
Because she's, you know, her and a man wrote this one, but her on her own as a director, you know what I mean? Like a
lot of controversy.
A lot of the discussion of the optics, right? But I think at adapted screenplay with Barbie being here, I think it could win.
And the problem with this game that I'm playing here of voting for the Oscars
Hard mind.
Is I'm going both. I'm trying to think like, okay, I agree with you. You're right. Barbie, pretty solid option here because the Academy voters will want to do that, but I want Oppenheimer to win, so I'm kind of going with my heart with this one more than my gut.
Did you choose one, Anthony?
No, I haven't. It's tough because
it's tough.
It's just tough. Even American Fiction is
American Fiction
writer.
is another one that I could see being the winner and like, oh shoot, American Fiction won here.
Yeah,
I need to watch that. I think it's on Prime now. I think it's on Prime.
I'll take your word for it.
I'm gonna go with drum roll.
Drums, please.
American Fiction. I'm just gonna go with a little secret upset.
Yeah, I think that's what it's gonna be. I you know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. If it's not Barbie, I think it's gonna be American Fiction. I'm gonna do this last quarter category, Shay, and then Shay, want to run us through the actors, and then
not on Prime Video, unfortunately.
Not, but it will be this week.
It will be this week. So yeah, we're speaking
like Prime Video. Holdovers, Oppenheimer,
Past Lives,
Anatomy of a Fall, and
Killer,
American Fiction.
Yeah, Wild. Shay, I'm going to finish up screenplay. Please. You want to do the actors after, then Shay, then Anthony could take us home with Best Picture and Best Director.
Yeah,
does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
Best Original Screenplay: Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. I'm going to throw in The Holdovers.
Interesting.
Ooh, the upset. Holdovers original. You think it's an upset?
Over Anatomy?
I think it's Anatomy.
Yeah, I think it's Anatomy.
Justine Treat, man.
I know.
I just think this is the one.
This is the one. Like, if this movie's winning any award, it's
because we haven't really put it for anything else, really, right?
Yeah.
Other than, I think you put editing.
And they put it for editing.
Right?
And put it for editing? Not for editing.
I didn't pick it. I was talking about how good the editing
was. Oh, you were talking about how good the editing was. Sorry.
Yeah,
but
this is tough.
And it's not nominated for Best International Film.
No, it wasn't, right?
Why though?
I don't know.
You know, weird. Like, why isn't it there?
Maybe
original screenplay. Again, I think it could be an Out of You a Fall. I think The Holdovers is that darling that people love, they're gonna be like, oh, it's such a simple story. But yeah, it's either Holdovers or Anatomy for me. But I'm gonna mark down for the record Holdovers.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put Anatomy.
Anatomy.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect.
Shay, take it from here.
Best Supporting Actress: Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferrera, Jodie Foster, And Divine Joy Randolph.
Divine. Yeah. This is her. She's won it all year.
I knew it the moment I saw her on screen. I leaned over to Dan and said, she's going to win Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
She didn't even say a line yet.
She didn't say a line. No.
Anthony called
the
shot.
She did like the whole Boston accent and then learning about her character and what her character goes through and just the pain that she, you see it on screen, like in her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
As we go through this journey with the whole group.
I loved Emily Blunt. I think I would have loved to seen Emily Blunt win this one because her performance, Kitty, is so good.
But it's
that's not my phrase. I don't like the phrase.
But there's something like I still saw Emily Blunt.
But no, really. I don't even think it's that. I just think that as amazing as she is in that film, Oppenheimer belongs to Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right? Like they are the pillars of that film.
Absolutely. But she's fantastic.
She is phenoms in it.
But yeah, this is divine. She's taking it home. Yeah. Best supporting actor, Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo.
Downey.
Send it to Downey.
He's going for a sweep.
Three downies.
Three downies. Right. And here we are with Best Actress.
This is a tough one.
Tough one here. Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Hüller, Carey Mulligan, and Emma Stone.
I want it so bad to be Sandra. I want it to be such a big surprise.
Ooh, it'd be nice.
I think she had the best performance last year for Best Actress.
Yeah.
I think she, hands down, was my favorite performance of an actress last year.
I agree.
I think Lily Gladstone is great in Killers of the Flower Moon. I just think that she gets sidelined so much in that film where it's like, the story should have been from her perspective right? And then you have Emma Stone, who's been doing so well at the awards as well. It's tough.
Because Emma and Lily both walked away with a trophy at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it really helped split this for us. I can see Emma Stone walking away with it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I feel like, and this is going to sound awful, I feel like the Academy sometimes also is like, okay, we owe it.
We need to make good. Yeah. Lily. Yeah.
Oh, like more of a diversity thing.
It's more of like it's a political play.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a vote that people would be like, there'd be no controversy
if they get positive press.
Yeah.
But you also have to look at who's voting for this award, right? It's female actresses. So do they look at that or do they look at really how deep this person went with their character? Because I think Emma Stone took a lot of risks for poor things.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Unexpected. So my choice is Emma Stone.
That's who
like,
you're voting?
I knew from watching Poor Things. Like, yeah, she's
right.
Daniel, she's like, did you say Lily runs as a well? Clinic.
Yeah, it's tough because Emma and Lily, those are the big two. I'm going to go for the story of it. I'm not voting. My mind is telling me to go Emma Stone.
Right.
But I'm going for the story of the night, and it's going to be Lily Gladstone.
Same.
Making good on that Oscars. Absolutely. On that most likely to win an Oscar yearbook quote. I'm going to go for
Lily. I just think it's so much more positive press for them. Yeah. Best actor. Bradley Cooper. Colman Domingo. Paul Giamatti. Cillian Murphy and Jeffrey Wright. Anthony, what do you got?
I'm gonna go with Cillian Murphy.
Oh yeah, you are.
But this is not a Cillian Murphy winning. Like, we don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know.
It's 50-50, right?
It's like Jeffrey Wright's there.
Jeffrey?
Paul Giamatti. Coleman Domingo's there. I don't think Bradley Cooper is in the conversation.
As much as he thinks
he wants to be in that conversation, I don't think he is in that conversation.
I think it's Paul or Cillian.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Too. But I'm going with Cillian. I think he deserves it. But I just, you know, I feel like there could be an upset there. There could be like some little shock and awe happening in that category.
I'm gonna go Cillian.
Yeah.
I'm locking in Cillian.
Three Cillians don't make a right.
Cillian got Globe, he got SAG,
BAFTA
Screen Actors Award, sorry. BAFTA.
Yeah, probably.
And he got something else.
He got Our Love.
He has Our Love.
Yeah. He got the Movie Podcast Award for Best Portrayal of Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Anthony, take us home with the last two categories.
So for Best Director, we have Justine Treat, and then we have Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer, The Zone of Interest.
So earlier when we were talking about like people and being honored, John Williams and music, Scorsese, I love you to death.
Oh man, love
you. You don't need to be in this category this year.
No.
You know?
Such a waste.
The Celine Strong. You know, like there's so many other big names that I think deserved a spot on this best director list.
Greta Gerwig,
you know, like
the optics again. I wasn't here for the Academy when we did the Academy Award episode, nomination episode. But yeah, man, the optics on that, I know we were talking about they're making good on the political game, but like how not nominating
one Greta woman director, Gerwig, though,
who has
like, that's it.
She's the first female to hit $1 billion at the box office and not be nominated
for best director.
For best director.
She is nominated for best picture and screenwriter, but for
She directed the vision, the 100%. Sound, the visual effects, the everything. That's her vision.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's crazy. And crazy we guy. Have one female, and you have Martin Scorsese, who made a 3-hour film that should have never been 3 hours.
Wasn't it 3.5?
More. Yeah. 3.5 hours. Yeah. Sorry.
Have you said who want to give it to?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Christopher Nolan has been deserving for so long for an Oscar.
And this is definitely the one. This is the one. Unapologetically.
And it's not an Oscar bait film either. This is a Christopher Nolan film through and through.
Yeah.
And it deserves to be there.
These are his flowers. Hand it to him.
Best Picture. For Best Picture, we got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I think there's three films that have this award. But I'll let you guys start
off. There was so much like build up to that. Who wants to start?
I'm going to go with Oppenheimer. For best picture, again, when you think of the feat that is Oppenheimer, you've heard us talk about this film for it's going to be almost a year.
Good Lord.
It is special. It is a landmark in film. It is moving the goalposts further.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's going to win best picture.
People are going to listen to us and be like, oh, you guys are just Oppenheimer heads and you just love Oppenheimer.
You bunch of Oppenhores. Yeah. Like, okay, guys.
Oppenhores?
Yeah, Oppenhores. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Oppenhores.
Jackets.
Oppenhores?
Oppenhores.
Yeah. We're not Oppenhomies. We're Oppenhores.
Oppenhores. Yeah. I'm an Oppenhore, man. Like, I've been seeing on the internet now, obviously, as you know, the awards get closer, people start hating on a film as they always do. And Oppenheimer seems to be that target. And it's like, really? This is the movie that you're upset at? It's literally fucking phenomenal. It is such a feat, this film. It got people to care. It had people sitting in the theater for 3+ hours multiple times to watch this movie. So shut the fuck up.
My goodness.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, I put Oppenheimer as well.
Yeah. What are your three, Anthony, that you're debating?
Is Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Poor Things.
Yep.
And Zone of Interest.
Interesting. You don't think Zone of Interest will do for international?
I think Zone of Interest is going to be Best Picture.
For both? You think it could do international?
I think it'll do the what is it? The Life is Beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Did Roma win Best Picture too, or was it just Best International and he won Best Director, right?
He won, I don't remember. I know he won Best Director for it.
Yeah. And I think it won Best, Alfonso Cuarón, and also won Best
Picture, because Netflix has not won a Best Picture yet.
Okay, so it wasn't that then.
Yeah.
But it won Best International and won Best Director.
Yeah.
It won 3 Oscars, Best Foreign Language Film, Best Achievement in Directing, and Best Cinematography.
There you go.
Cuarón with both, because he was a cinematographer as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Zone of Interest for me.
Wait, you're going Zone of Interest?
Yeah.
As your Best Picture winner?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
I love you, dude.
But
I hope you're wrong.
I don't know. There's something like
gut something feeling. In the air. You feel
gut feeling.
Okay, Phil
go with
Collins.
The guts. Go with the, what'd you say?
I said, okay, Phil Collins.
Yeah, just a gut feeling.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, we're 5 days away now at this point, right?
Yeah.
And then we could stop talking about the Oscars for another
and
year.
And I think, I don't think for me, Oppenheimer winning Best Picture. I think it's more of Christopher Nolan and Cillian Murphy winning.
Director and actor?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm okay. Like, yeah, they deserve it. And I think they need to win that for them. But I think for overall best picture, I think it's Zone of Interest.
But is that your best picture of the year?
No.
Okay, you're just...
Like,
you're
me
just,
personally?
You're just voting, like you're I'm saying where people are voting.
Based on my gut, and this is not like...
This is not your personal choice.
No, because this is not the personal choice, right? This is not that game we're playing.
No, this is not the personal choice awards.
I'm thinking what the Academy wants, voters, what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zone of interest.
A nice little pause there.
It's
a chill episode. It's just like a chill Oscars episode. We're together. Yeah. It's nice. We have a lot of coverage coming out in the next couple weeks too. We're doing some really fun stuff. So really make sure you're following us on socials because
Comic Con Toronto.
You may see us there.
Ching ching.
Ching ching. I don't know. That's something. Think of the shing.
Oh yeah. I'll think of the shing.
Yeah.
Shing.
Stay tuned for more.
Stay tuned for more.
Yeah, do you guys have anything else before we wrap up
that we want to talk about
episode? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
It's been a long day, but there's again the stuff that we did today, it's very exciting. So
yeah.
Excited to talk more about it soon.
Yeah. As always, you catch a brand new episode of the Movie Podcast every
There's a lot of episodes throughout the week.
There's always something throughout the week. And don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And on Spotify, and leave comments. Let us know how we're doing. Please do not be negative.
I mean, you can be if you want to.
No, don't be negative.
No, I'm not saying.
You live one life. Why are you being negative?
I agree. I don't think people should be negative or mean or anything, but the problem is so many people are. People on the internet are so mean. And you know what? We get the comments. It's fine. Like,
yeah, I think Daniel gets the most comments, I would say.
Daniel gets like, either
I don't get bullied though. I just get weird backhanded. I get weird backhanded compliments. I wouldn't say they're bullying me.
I mean,
they're backhanded compliments.
They're not. When have somebody bullied me in the comments?
Did someone call you like a clown?
No. Well, I don't know if we don't know who they were referring to.
That's true.
They said these clowns.
These are clowns.
I get weird, like this guy has a feminine filter on.
Yeah.
Because of his curls and his eyelashes. That too.
That dumb bitch.
This guy has such beautiful eyes. And then the reply, like the Grinch.
Yeah.
That was
mine
good.
Like, eyebrows. Oh, they let a brown guy in.
Yeah. Yeah, you can catch us on all the podcast feeds, wherever a podcast is found. We'll probably be there on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Letterboxd, X, as well as on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube. You can see our faces. We're gonna have quite a bit of reviews coming out, plus CinemaCon. We'll probably shoot some video and post that up too. That was this time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next. Is that a good episode?